So welcome back to the second part of our symposium. I hope you had a nice break, and we would like to continue now very energized and continue with second panel perspectives. As we all have heard, the speakers of our first panel shared with us their expertise, experience, and interpretation as authors and practitioners, examining what losing control of or through an art form might mean, and presenting consequences of leaving the canon and shifting the spectator to the position of the collaborator and the active citizen. During the second panel, we would like to take a closer look at one example of a participatory art form and unpacking what might be understood by the terms active citizen and participatory art. For our panel perspectives, we shared with our speakers in advance two works by Tania Bruguera. Without asking them to judge the work, but rather taking her interaction and statements as a starting point for our discussion. This move has the character of an experiment itself for all of us, providing an occasion for speaking, to speak in uncertainty and about the unforeseen. So our excellent speakers will lead us through this discussion and process with their inputs. And we are very much looking forward to listen later on to Maria Lind, here she is, Nikita Dawan, Howard Cagle, Amin Hussein, and Natasha Dillon. I'm really curious to see and hear how your response or contributions were inspired by the theme and examples, and I'm looking forward to open up the discussion with and between you all in our closing panel together with Uli Filzmaier. Very much looking forward to that too. So before giving the floor to the speakers, let me give you some corner points as well around the artist Tania Bruguera and introduce you to the two artworks so we are all kind of on the same base and we know, you know, what was the starting point to talk about. Tania Bruguera, I like that picture a lot, I don't know, but anyway, so I choose that one. Bruguera was born in 68 in Havana and was known for her performative, politically motivated art. Her interdisciplinary practice takes many forms as she continues to explore the nature of power structures and their effects on society's most vulnerable groups. Some of Bruguera's earliest work take shape in visceral, body-centric performances connected to her Cuban heritage. As her career progressed, Bruguera expanded her focus to global examination of power. She characterizes her work as political, time-specific, and here I think we have already a lot of connections to what we heard in the first panel, especially to what we heard from Hiba and Patrick. It is a method where the piece depends on political circumstances specific to the moment when exhibited. The second influence is connected to the concept of arte utile. It's kind of translated into English to useful art. Although I think this useful has already, it's already problematic, but anyway. Arte utile can be described shortly as an aim to recast the viewer as a user. The individual artistic authorship is swept out in preference of the potential for its participants to expropriate the work and make it their own. In that sense, it focuses on working with reality rather than representing it. Consequently, Bruguera describes herself as artist and activist. And it might be the thin line between these two forms that could be formulate a specific interpretation or possibility of taking the risk. So we have chosen two artwork examples that give an insight to her interpretation of these two terms, activist and artist. Both works were commissioned by museums, where the first selected example Immigrant Movement International focuses on the activist part in the neighborhood. The second part shows the materialization of Arte Utile in a museum. So let me start with Immigrant Movement International, shortly also said as IMI. IMI was realized or materialized or realized between 2010 and 2015 and is described as one of the examples for socially engaged art practice in a global context. But describing this work brings you already to the problem that all social engaged artworks share, namely how to present a work that focuses on the social, on the interaction. So I decided here now to give you the background of her choice of creating this format and some documenting pictures, conscious that this presents only a cutout of a long-term process. Bruguera started this project by spending a year living in a small apartment in Corona, Queens, with five illegal immigrants and their children. Though being aware of her privileged status as an artist, she tried to experience some of the problems illegal immigrants encountered trying to survive on a low pay and without health insurance. The project, funded by the Queens Museum of Art and a non-profit art group called Creative Time, I'm sure some of you know that one, also involved opening a storefront in New York where Bruguera wanted to hold originally art workshops for immigrants, but had to find out that most of the people who came to the store were, of course, more interested in learning English or needed help finding employment or legal aid. As part of this reality, Bruguera launched Immigrant Movement International, a participatory art project which evolved into a social movement and organization. IMI has developed educational programming, symposiums, health and legal services, and workshops for immigrants, engaging both local and international communities, as well as working with the social service organizations, elected officials, but also artists focusing on immigration reforms. Over the years, IMI expanded by establishing affiliations and collective actions in other countries. One art intervention in this context that you might remember was the participatory work Surplus Value in 2012 at the Tank of the Tate Modern in London, where Bruguera let visitors experience the selective processes of visa entry procedures. So let's move on to the second work example, which brings us back to the Tate Modern in 2018, so just recently, which started as well by engaging with a neighborhood in southeast of London and led to a series of interventions in and around the museum. As Tate Exchange lead artist for its 2018-19 activity year, Bruguera was appointed by the Hyundai Commission for working on a site-specific artwork program that increased the museum's engagement with its local audience. Following again the Arte Utile concept, Bruguera tried first to understand together with a group of 21 people who lived and worked near the museum how the museum can learn from and adapt to its local community. Under the group name Tate Neighbors, a program was created that seeks to revive collective social responsibility and common purpose. As conclusion of her work and collaboration with Tate Neighbors, Bruguera created a multi-phased intervention under the title 10,142,926 that addressed the physical movement of people as well as the emotional journey, and here I quote, from the unknown other to the close-by neighbor. The name of the installation changed daily in reference to the number of people who migrated from one country to another in 2017, added to the number of migrant deaths recorded. I shortly describe you now what visitors of the exhibition experience, but you will get a better and closer idea about the work later on, as we have a short documentation about the background and artwork where you will, where we get a better idea, which was produced by the Tate itself. So just to envision, when you entered the Turban Hall, you were confronted with a space that seemed not to be changed at all, despite the fact that glossy black floor tiles were covering the polished concrete ramp, as you can see now in the picture. But underneath layers of heat-sensitive paint applied to the Turban Hall, floor, a face of a young man, Yusuf, a Syrian migrant from Homs, was hidden. The portrait was only revealed partly through the body heat of the visitors, leaving hand, foot, or body prints behind. That reminds perhaps some of us a bit on Yves Klein's series in the 60s. It was nearly impossible aiming to see the full portrait, as it would have been, as it would have needed the action of around at least 100 people placing their bodies on the floor at the same time. Here you can see a little bit the portrait in the back. So in another small room nearby triggered physical reaction, imitating empathy, in contrast to apathy we feel every day when exposed to the news. Before entering the room, the title, as you can see, 10,142,926, was stamped on the wrist. Inside, people experienced an organic compound in the air that induced tears and provoked what the artist described as forced empathy. So, but as I said before, it is much better to see it yourself, and we have this little video. Hopefully now I know what I will do. Yes, here and yeah. So please see and enjoy. No, I did something wrong. For yourself. Here.
I've been working for a very long time with the immaterial, the intangible, and trying to push the limit of art into feeling more than seeing. It only come alive when you intentionally want it to come alive. My name is Tania Bruguera. I'm an artist and an activist, and I try, hopefully with my work, to transform audience into active citizens. Hopefully when people arrive to the Turban Hall, they will think that nothing has changed, that the building had no intervention at all. I want them to understand that things only change and happen in society when you intervene in them. A very important part of the Turban Hall Commission has been the work with Tate Neighbors, which is a group of activists, artists, elders, young people who live in the SC1 zip code. In this case, it's the first project that is being conceived within the consultation and the creative input of the community.
The community in Elephant and Castle is probably the most huge Latin American community in London. Some shops, for example, like this one, has been open for more than 15 years. I've been participating in Tania's project from the beginning. One of the most important things is the relevance of having a connection between an art institution and the community around this place. I think the whole project is not about getting something, it's about giving something.
I'm not very au fait, I don't know anything about modern art really, but I became aware of this a project that was going to be undertaken at the Tate. I went to most of the meetings and tried to put my pennyworth in, as it were. Tate Neighbours put forward the idea that the Boiler House building should be renamed, and it should be put in the name of someone who has lived and worked in this area, done good work and gone the extra mile.
Not Natalie Bell is a wonderful, amazing activist. She has changed and empowered the life of young people. And we are thrilled to be able to bring to light the work she has done. We ask her, can you give us an example how really the work you do change the life of somebody? And then she came up with Youssef.
Youssef is an amazing young man. He is from Syria. He fled because of the war. By the time he arrived here, he had nothing. I don't do things for people, I just open doors. It's up to people to go through or not. And a lot of people have opened doors for me, so I just like to pass it on. And I think Youssef is a typical shining example of that, that he's now set up his own organisation in Brighton to help other young people and young students. And he wants to be a doctor so that he can help other people.
There is a big tradition of portraiture. You know, kings are being portrayed, or famous people. And I say, let's do a big portrait of Youssef. The portrait is covered by thermochromic ink. So the only way people will see him is if they all get together and with their heat will uncover the image. Normally in the news, the biggest news are the sad news. Here we want to subvert that. So the big story, the big portrait is a good story. And there is a small space where you can cry together with other people. You start feeling water in your eyes without understanding why. And the whole point of the piece is, can we relearn to feel for others again? I've been collaborating with a wonderful artist, Code9. He has created this sound landscape. And it's going to be very subtle. It might be like a hum, but hopefully it's something you feel in your body. When you open the Wi-Fi, a new page will come in with the term and conditions done by the neighbors. What we're trying to do is make a call to action for people to engage with social local causes. And we have our manifesto that I think is quite beautiful.
We believe in a culture of connection where we is used instead of us and them.
We advocate for the right for all to be different but equal.
A prejudice-free zone, a sanctuary for all.
In times when thoughts and words are not enough, actions must become our common language.